Hi, everyone, and welcome to the State of State Schools podcast. I'm your host, John Stamper, Christian author, former homeschooler, and former public school teacher. Once a week, I'll give a quick recap of the most important headlines in education and pull back the curtain on what's really happening in our kids' schools. If you're a teacher, parent, or homeschool family, this podcast is for you. Thanks for listening, and let's get started. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode number 56. Everything in this episode comes from the week of March 18th, 2024. We have four stories to discuss. Number one will be about media literacy courses for K-12 students. Story number two is about lawsuits over trans school policies. Number three, secret LGBTQ clubs for elementary schoolers. And story number four is about public schools in the state of Washington who will soon be required to teach LGBTQ history. Story number one, have you ever heard of media literacy courses in K-12 schools? I haven't, just until recently anyway. This is something that parents may want to keep an eye out for if you have kids in public schools, even in private schools. So California Governor Gavin Newsom recently signed a bill mandating that public schools teach these new media literacy classes. New York has done the same thing. Delaware, New Jersey, Texas, they're all implementing similar courses. So what exactly is a media literacy course? Well, apparently they're designed to teach students, quote, how to spot conspiracy theories, misinformation, disinformation, and online hate, end quote. And this content will be worked into math, science, and history courses. So this begs the questions, who gets to decide what's considered disinformation? And who's doing the fact-checking? Upward News reported that Mark Berman, the California legislator who wrote this new media literacy law, he stated that, quote, from climate denial to vaccine conspiracy theories to the January 6th attack on our nation's capital, the spread of online misinformation has had global and deadly consequences, end quote. So according to this legislator who wrote this bill, if you're not on board with the climate control, climate change agenda, then you're responsible for the, quote, global and deadly consequences, end quote. If you deny the efficacy of the COVID vaccine, then you are responsible for the global and deadly consequences. And if you question the January 6th riots, you are responsible for the global and deadly consequences. So this is the belief system promoted in these media literacy courses. And they tell the K-12 students what's true and what's not true. Now, why does this matter? Well, it matters because we've all seen the fact-checking, quote-unquote, misinformation and fake news dominating national media outlets over the last decade or so. Now it's taking over K-12 schools, which means government schools will further revise history. They'll control the narratives and continue to streamline the indoctrination process. It's all about controlling information and controlling speech. Revisionism. So if you see these courses coming to your school or your school district, I suggest you dig deep, ask a lot of questions, and keep an eye on what's being taught. Story number two. In 2020, Fairfax County Schools in Virginia adopted new gender identity policies stating that, quote, students who identify as gender expansive or transgender should be called by their chosen name and pronouns and provided with the option of using a locker room or restroom consistent with the student's gender identity, end quote. This means that a child's delusion, confusion, or mental illness must be reinforced by students and adults in the school system. This is mandatory lying to children, and it's child abuse. Yet, it was school policy. Also, this policy would allow 18-year-old men, seniors in high school, into female locker rooms to shower with 14-year-old freshman girls. That's not my opinion. That's the policy. That's what really happens. And I want to point out, this was in 2020, 4 years ago. Remember 2020? This is when schools were shut down. No one was there. But policies like this were being passed behind the curtain. They were being snuck into schools when no one was looking. Now, this happened all over the country, and look at where we are now. In addition to these absolutely destructive policies, students were quizzed on the policies, and they were required to respond with the quote-unquote correct answers. And if they didn't comply with the policies, students could be suspended for misgendering a classmate, even if done accidentally. So this is forced speech. Now, fortunately, America First Legal recently filed a lawsuit on behalf of one of the female students on the grounds that the school's trans policies violated her religious freedom, and they placed students in potentially dangerous situations. The suit states that, quote, being compelled to share common female-designated facilities with members of the opposite sex, including restrooms, directly contradicts her faith. It compromises her privacy and modesty and makes her feel unsafe and uncomfortable, end quote. So this was common sense for thousands of years. But all of a sudden, this school district and most public school districts around the country consider transgenderism to be normal and healthy. And not only that, but society at large must be mandated and forced to agree with it. So I'm an advocate for homeschooling. I think government schools are a lost cause and they're not viable options. But I am glad to see these lawsuits coming down because they highlight the insanity and the destructiveness of these trans policies. So if your kids are in a school with these gender policies, you may want to file your own lawsuit. And if you're on the board of a public school district or a private school that's implemented such policies, you may want to change your policies. Otherwise, you could be facing major lawsuits because your policies are promoting the mental, emotional, and physical abuse of children. Story number three, a group called the California Family Council discovered recently that a third grade teacher in California, a man, at the Elk Grove Unified School District personally invited all third through sixth grade students to a new club called UBU. Now, this club was promoted as being for, quote, boys who crush on boys and girls who crush on girls, end quote. But according to the club's invitation, all 8 to 12-year-olds were welcome to attend the meeting, whether they were homosexual or not. This is not a joke. This really happened. How is it that school administrators don't look at a man like this and say he's a groomer? He's sexualizing children. He's a pervert. Fire him. Why is that so hard? I think it's because school leaders are either, one, cowardly, too afraid to take a stand against it, or two, they believe it to be virtuous to not only discuss but promote homosexuality and promote transgenderism to children. And like so many of these secret clubs and special school events, there was no notification in the school newsletter. No permission slips were sent home to parents. But permission slips were sent home, however, for the school's garden club. So for the UBU gay club for 8, 9, and 10-year-olds, parents don't need to know about it. But the gardening club? Parents better sign off on that. So parents only found out about this club after a 4th grade boy came home from a club meeting and started asking his mom a bunch of questions about it. The mother immediately reached out to his teacher, asking, why didn't parents receive information about this club? And the teacher responded, quote, because it's a safe place for students to go and discuss their sexuality without having to come out to their parents, end quote. So there it is. Parents are dangerous. School clubs are safe. There's the wedge being driven between parents and children. So then the mother contacted the principal asking the same question. Why weren't parents notified about this UBU club? And the principal allegedly responded by saying, quote, because we fear there will be parents that say no, end quote. So 30 plus parents met with this principal demanding answers only to learn that similar LGBTQ clubs had already been founded and started in 10 other local elementary schools without parent permission. Now, I've discussed many times how teachers receive training, or at least they receive access to training materials, where they're taught how to deal with parents or avoid parents who don't support their child attending LGBTQ clubs. You know, parents who are quote-unquote unaffirming. So one way teachers are trained to avoid these dangerous parents is to host secret meetings in secret locations and to only pass out secret verbal invitations to students so there's no physical evidence going home. This is the standard operating procedure in a lot of schools. Now, this is a prime example of what happens when schools adopt and implement not just gender ideology, but Marxist policies. How is this Marxist? Well, it comes from the Marxist doctrine of intersectionality, or intersecting identities, something that was a part of my teacher training in Chicago. Intersecting identities teaches that parents, for example, are abusive and manipulative toward children, especially the white, Christian, middle-income parents. They're the most dangerous. But you know who the safe ones are? Well, this teacher just told you. They're the safe ones. They're the safe space, the school, the teachers, the sex clubs. So in my opinion, this is just one of a million reasons to get out of the public schools. And even private schools can have these same policies, especially private schools that accept government funding. Story number four, Washington State Governor Jay Inslee just signed a law that requires all public schools in the state to teach LGBTQ history as part of their school curriculum. This will take effect next year. The law is intended to expand inclusive learning standards as part of their DEI initiative. Sounds great. The goal of the curriculum, oddly enough, is to end bias in learning materials. So their approach to ending bias is to exercise extreme bias in mandating LGBTQ history. Funny how that works. Wouldn't it be more inclusive to not separate people based on their identities? You know, to include everyone together and just teach history, period? So this new law makes me think of school choice. And by the way, I'm working on doing some bonus episodes to discuss the nuances of school choice from state to state. But those who support school choice, and I used to support school choice until I started learning about it. Those who support school choice in the form of vouchers or education savings accounts, most would say, you know, thank God for vouchers because they allow me to send my kid to a private school that doesn't force LGBTQ curriculum on my kids. But those who do not support school choice, like me, are more concerned with the government regulations that are attached to tax dollars and public funds, such as vouchers. Now, I know that, you know, the political left, most teachers, teachers unions, they don't support school choice either, but for very different reasons. They don't want to give up control. I don't support school choice because I value freedom. I value liberty. I don't want the government reaching in my pocket. I don't want the government coming in my home, dictating what I can teach my children. That's why I don't support school choice. So while school choice regulations vary from state to state, one thing that is the same for every state's school choice voucher system is that it's government run. It's government funded. It's socialist in nature. It takes from one group, tax dollars, and gives to another group. But the catch is the state gets to set the regulations and the state dictates when, where, and how those vouchers are used. Now, in some states like Florida, you might like your regulations attached to your voucher system. But in other states, like maybe Arizona or Michigan, you may not like the regulations attached to these public funds. But the point is, accepting school choice funds sets the precedent that the government is responsible for paying for your child's education. And whoever pays for something, they're the ones who control it. They own it. So this LGBTQ history law in Washington is a great example of how easily and how quickly a quote-unquote good state for school choice can turn into a bad state for school choice. All it takes is the stroke of a pen for the pendulum to swing one direction to the other side. And then what you perceived as educational freedom turns into an education welfare system. Actually, that's what we already have, a welfare style of public education. Only now it's creeping into private schools and homeschools under the guise of school choice. Anyway, that's all I have for you this week. Stay tuned for more bonus episodes coming up, hopefully soon, on school choice. Take care, everybody.